Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment. And as usual, once our guest presents, we welcome them. And I do welcome our next guest. And I count it an honor for them to come and spend time with us and educate us as to how they went through their journey, the principles that they utilize, so that they can teach us, so we can learn and become better human spirits while we're here on this wonderful planet of ours. Travis, welcome to Threads of Enlightenment, and thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you for having me. I'm grateful and honored to be here.
Thank you. Talk to the people about some of the things that you have today that you have created in your space. I know you mentioned a little about the YouTube channel. Talk about all of those things that you have so that they can get a glimpse of your creative power.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, my book Boxed In, Redefining Yourself from Feeling Excluded to Included was published at the end of last year.
Congratulations.
And thank you so much. Yeah, I'm very proud of the book, and I'm just hoping that it just helps people. Mm-hmm. Because for me, in this stage of my life, all I want to do is help humanity and make that impact.
Yeah.
So with the book, it goes back. It's not only stories from my life, because I didn't want to have just that narrow point of view. I have some pretty incredible, influential people in my life and inspiring people. So it includes their stories as well. And what I redefined were the words family, parent, wealth, and perfect, because those are very impactful words that in society, you know, family and, and relationships and wealth and perfect for goal setting and and status, right? And it's not to exclude the current definition. It was only to expand the audience. And this was due to, for me, whenever I was a child, my genetic brother, who is 8 years older than me, unfortunately, he is a diagnosed sociopath. And so trauma for me started at birth by physical and emotional abuse from him. And so I had to, you know, blaze a trail for myself to have both genetic family members and also family members of my choice. So I feel like people will get a lot from the book, especially when redefining wealth. When I redefine wealth, it has nothing to do with material possessions. We are all wealthy. And that is really from our spiritual connection with God, the beautiful relationships we have, the love we receive. And so I really hope that resonates with people to know that we live in a world where when you look at the television, materialism is flashing before everyone's eyes. And that could possibly make someone feel that they're not meeting up to some certain standard of the material world. And we're just so abundantly wealthy.
Yeah, I think it's just our Western society as well. One of the things I tell people to travel, step out of America, step out of Western civilization is more, I should say, more than anything else. Because once you step out of Western civilization, because we are a society of comfort, we are a society of, you know, everything has to be ready and all this type of stuff. But once you move away from there, and you get a chance to see different cultures and how people are how they live and how they move, you tend to get a wake-up call, as they say, you know. So here you are, Travis. You have been introduced to trauma from a young age. And I tell people that once you've gone through your journey, the gift that we get as a result of coming through the journey is that we become servant. And we serve through things, items like tools, I would say, like books, podcasts, the YouTube channels. These are tools that whereby we can now reach back in and serve mankind, and it's a place of honor to be there. But I want to walk with you a little, Travis, about your journey. Let's talk about once this you mentioned the abuse, how did that affect you as a, let's go and say, a teenage young man? How did you live in that space with all of that?
Gosh, I I've never known what it was like to have a real sibling. Mm-hmm. And with that, you know, I know that every family has problems, but I was never shown genuine love or any love at all from my genetic brother. Mm-hmm. I was constantly just ignored, and there were moments of physical abuse. Also, there were some other factors in my life that added to that trauma regarding during those formative years, my parents getting separated. Mm. But I'm happy to say they worked things out, and now they're over 50 years married.
Wow, that's good. Awesome.
But it was twofold.
Yeah.
So how it impacted me was not feeling worthy, mm-hmm. worthy of love. And I was also different growing up because I am a part of the LGBTQ community. And ever since I was a small child, I always knew mm-hmm. I was different from other boys.
Yeah.
So it made me often hesitant to get to know have guy friends mm-hmm. growing up.
Yeah.
Because my other, you know, I thought it was not only was my brother not showing me love, but did he also see those flamboyancies in me? And he, you know, the physical abuse came from him trying to toughen me up.
Wow.
And so I didn't really realize how much it really impacted everything, because trauma can lay dormant.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Until my adulthood with my relationship with him. Because I will say, you know, I was blessed to have two parents mm-hmm. who knows exactly how my brother is, and they never tried to change my behavior.
Yeah.
Which was pretty cool because I grew up in South Louisiana of all places. And I didn't realize it, you know, because I'll never forget when I was in middle school. I was in middle school, Ken, and I got in the car. I was really severely bullied in middle school. And I got in the car with my dad, and I don't want to use the word, but you know, I said, "Dad, what's the F word?"
Yeah.
How one would describe a gay person.
Yeah.
And I remember my dad's face of shock. You know, he was just so hurt. But in my book, I talk about how things really turned around for me in high school and college. Mm-hmm. My brother moved away to go to the army. Mm-hmm. And when he moved away, it was like a ton of bricks had been lifted because it was just my parents and I.
Yeah.
And I was in high school having a really good experience based upon my chosen family mm-hmm. member. I call her my sister. We've known each other for 27 years and her name is Jamie. And she really turned those experiences of my childhood of both being emotionally and physically abused by my brother, mm-hmm. getting bullied in middle school. And I just had this phenomenal high school experience that went into my college experience. And my brother later showed up again, like I mentioned, in adulthood. Yeah. And he became and I'm so happy he found a religious path. Mm-hmm. But it got to the point where, you know, every time we would have a conversation, I'm being told I'm going to hell. And I'm being told, you know, just rattling off so much stuff. And again, finding another way to not love me.
Yeah, I know. I grew up, I was telling someone, you know, I grew up in a church. And one of the things that they put in our heads is, and I think that's from people that don't spend time studying. And I think they just grab onto any sermon and they beat on our head that God is going to, the picture that I had about God is horrific. As far as a father, I was like, I don't want that type of father. And you see him, they talk about him slaying you, you're going to hell, fire and brimstone, this whole thing. But then when I sat down and started looking within the pages of the Bible myself and stopped with the noise of some of these teachers, I saw a different picture. I saw someone that was in love with me. And regardless of my mess, just loved me so much. And how attentive he is in making me obtain the best things for me. And as you begin to look in the scriptures, you see those things. Those that come, Travis, from a place of judgment, we were talking about earlier, when you lack a relationship with God the Father, the true God, that's how you would behave. Because if you read what he says, there's a difference between disciples and churchgoers, members. I think a lot of people, because they tie themselves to a church and they call themselves Christians, it gives them a license to be acting crazy. But if you study the Word of God, it's nothing like that. He's talking about changing your behavior, loving someone. You are not to judge. You are to love. That's your job. I remember growing up and people were attacking me and stuff like that. And once I learned that my job was to love. I don't care who you are. You know, my responsibility is to love. And so from that space, people get to know who your God is, you know. So your brother needs to work on his relationship with the Father, and he'll get the revelation as we focus on that. Talk to me about
we haven't spoken in a while, but my parents do say he's trying. You know, whenever someone's diagnosed as a sociopath,
yeah,
and they have a personality disorder.
Yeah.
Anybody with a personality disorder lacks empathy.
Yeah.
So it's very, he is unable to show genuine love, mm-hmm. including with my parents. So he tries his best.
Yeah.
I also sort of believe that, yes, he uses his religion as another form and way to continue to ignore me.
Yeah.
He uses discipline because he's
because he came out of that. Yeah. He went into the army, and that's what they teach and preach. And I'm sure he flourished under that type of system because that mentality flourishes within that discipline arena. So here you are. You're going through. You are provided. I believe that we are provided these beautiful friends, these people, these spirits that come into our space that is able to help us to realize who we are and grow. So you had an opportunity to have one of those. Talk to me as you moved through college. Did you guys went to the same school? Or did you separate?
We did. We went to the same college. Mm-hmm. And her name is Jamie. I grew up in South Louisiana. She is still there.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jamie and I believe you can have so many soul connect, you know, various soul connections.
Yeah.
We genuinely have a very strong soul connection. In fact, we both know when something's going on with each other without even having to say it.
Yeah.
But we went 10 years without speaking because when I came out of the closet, mm-hmm. and this is not, I've often struggled, and this is how I know that anyone that might think that being gay is a choice, I just want to let them know I've gone through so many hardships, mm-hmm. and I've always known I was different. Like, it would have just been a simpler and easier path for me. But, you know, I received a lot of trauma within my own community because the community itself is broken because you have all these individuals that come from trauma. And I think a lot of them don't seek out the spirit, you know, they don't seek out spirituality or therapy or a way. So they maybe don't know, not everyone, but a big majority don't know how to treat each other. And another way it affected mm-hmm. My brother's relationship affected me was I wanted everyone to like me. Like, I was seeking approval. I wanted people's approval. And like I mentioned before, because Jamie made my high school experience so great, and talking about popularity in high school is silly. Yeah. But when you are this kid that feels broken inside, and suddenly the most popular girl in school wants to be friends with you, and she completely turned my life around, and I felt so accepted and loved. That was really good for my self-esteem. It's a silly look, high school popularity and all mm-hmm. that. It's very silly, but for me and how I was built, it was important to me because I felt included in something.
There's nothing wrong with that, I think. I think whatever it takes, whatever tool it takes to assist in your personal growth is necessary.
I agree.
And so it's just necessary, you know.
So I got so enthralled with the gay community trying to get them to accept and like me. Mm-hmm. because there's a lot of judgment there. And, you know, there's just, what I wish for our community is they would show each other more love and lift each other up. So,
yeah.
So I actually took Jamie for granted, and we didn't talk for 10 years, 10 years. Wow. And I did a podcast with her on my YouTube channel, which is a channel about helping to keep people in a positive, enlightened state of mind through practical tips. Yeah. And, you know, she was going through all these hardships during that time. She's now a caregiver to her husband, and she will be a widow at a young age, unfortunately. So I wanted to be there for my friend in those 10 years. And I tried to reach out other ways, and I don't think she was ready to receive it. And then one day I wrote a letter to her after multiple attempts, because I would dream about her all the time. Weekly, we would have dreams where we would just have the best time meeting up. And I wrote this letter, and it was going to be my last attempt to try to reach out. At least in my mind, I thought it was going to be my last attempt, because I thought the relationship was done. And she's just like me. She never checks her mail. We don't like to check. And there was a letter sticking out the mailbox that she noticed. And she sees it's my name. And she wasn't going to check the mail, but she only saw my name sticking out.
Your name.
Right.
Yeah.
And we connected, and it was like time never went by. Like that 10 years never happened. And what was cool was we learned the same lessons in years through my trials and tribulations. Her trials and tribulations, we were parallel in our journeys. And the dream stopped.
Dream
stopped.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. That's tells how connected you guys are. And I love how they call all the different things, you know, fate and whatever. But the fact that she saw just your name out of all of those things. And so it was, I feel... Stuff like that is when the time is, one person may feel the need, and I've noticed this in relationships, especially with close people, one will feel the pull, or one is more awake, or not even that, one is more sensitive than the other, and would be the one that will send out the call, because the other one is in a state where still not, it's clouded, if you will, is in this little cloud. They don't feel it that much, but then I believe because you sent out that person that is feeling it, sent out the energy, it creates a space by which it does connect, and then they come. And that was that letter that she saw, because you had sent it out, you sent out the intention, the energy with the letter, and I believe that when she was ready, the Bible says, Jesus said, those who have ears, let them hear. That tells me that when they're ready, they'll hear it. So that was perfect. That's beautiful, man. So here you are, Travis, going through all of these things and realizing that this person that has been in your space, she is going through hers. You've gone through yours 10 years. You guys are together. What are some of those things that you learned as an individual within that 10-year? What are some of the lessons that you said? Because you said you learned some similar lessons. What were some of those?
I don't want to get emotional talking about this, but people, genuine love can be hard to find. And, you know, I wish our society could show more love towards each other. That's why I'm so proud of you and what you're doing and the work you're doing. And that's why it's my mission as well. I was wasting a lot of time with people that weren't right or healthy for me because I wanted to feel accepted. And the biggest lesson that I learned was to not take people who genuinely love you for granted.
Yeah.
And I look back and I did take a lot of people I genuinely loved for granted. Includes my parents. Those are the relationships I want to focus on where I find genuine love. You know, when you know better, you do better. And it was by far, that was the biggest lesson, because my heart, when you have a, for me, when I have a soul connection with someone, a connected with her. Mm-hmm. I had never lost a friend like that for that long. I always felt a part of me was missing. It every day I thought about it. And so it was rough not having her there because we are each other's rocks. And in fact, I'm mm-hmm. really, you know, I live in Georgia now and I'm trying to get back to Louisiana because, you know, she's in New Orleans. My family's in Louisiana. And when that unfortunate day comes, regards to her husband, I want to be there. And I thought I was going to get a promotion with work that would have allowed me to be there, but it didn't work out. So I'm just hoping God will open up that door. But we just can't take people who we have a genuine connection with, a genuine soul connection, where we find genuine love for granted. And so many people I find, you know, they want to social climb and they want to, you know, chase this dream. And for me, I feel like that's their path, but they're missing the mark mm-hmm. because if they could just focus on filling their soul with God and spirituality and people who love them, I feel they would mm-hmm. live a much more fulfilled and happy life.
I think that's, as we were talking on the onset, that's why I think they did that, or they do that, Travis, because they and all of us in the world system program us to believe that that's where happiness comes mm-hmm. from. And so happiness, they're telling us that if we go and get the money, get the fine cars, get all of these things, then we are going to be this just smiley, happy person on the planet doing all kinds of stuff. But then I ask the question, if that was the case, and that's the thesis that they are giving to us, why then would a multimillionaire commit suicide? So if your thesis is that once you have acquired these things, brings happiness, something is wrong with your thesis, because we're watching millionaires killing themselves all day long. So there's something wrong within your premise that is not true. And so I want to tell people that's not true, because happiness is not that. Acquiring things will never bring you happiness, because you are a deeper being than material stuff. Material stuff will never satisfy the true person. It doesn't care about that stuff, you know. It's just the achievement of all these things, because what matters is love. What matters is empathy. What matters is how you react to that person. As you said, I know we're going to get to that, talking about those that you identify as family and those as friends and so forth. But loving people who are broken and not expecting anything from them, and seeing from a conversation with them the awareness that starts to happen in their life when they receive that shift in perspective, like you did. You had that shift in your perspective. And once you shift in your perspective, you look at people differently. And so you had that shift in your perspective as to the value of someone that expresses and show you true love. Once you recognize that, everyone that's within that space becomes tremendously valuable to your life. And so you find yourself attached to them. Why? Because in a conversation, Travis, is power. It's a different type of conversation. It's a different type of exchange in energy. It is where you're with people that are, I call them the vampires that will suck you dry. Yeah. And you would be dead in 5 minutes of a conversation. I'm talking 5 minutes. I'm like, please just get away from me in 5 minutes, because you got nothing else. And you feel all your life being pulled out of you. But then when you're around those people that you're able to energize each other, and you feel this energy just keeps growing, and you keep growing and growing, and you can have a conversation for 40 days and not even break, and did not even know that you were having that conversation. So talk to me about some of those that you recognize, because you and I had this little before about family, because society says about this family. Talk to us about from the point of view that you are now seeing from when you say the word family.
Well, I will always love my genetic brother, and I will continue to have hope for some semblance of a relationship. But right now, he's not. Yeah. I pray for him every day, but he's not a part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to reach a point where I had to ask myself, is this person who has been so abusive to me throughout my entire life, is that person family? And for me, that's no, because I wanted to create a tribe and go out, and I sought a tribe. You know, I sought out and prayed that I would meet the right type of soul mates for me to create a family. So it's family to me can be both genetic and chosen, but it's people, it's two people who are kindred spirits and have that same connection, who love one another. They don't judge one another. They lift each other up. They catch you when you fall, and I do that for them. All the things that I'm saying, I do that for others, and they do back to me. And it's just this genuine, pure love. And when I'm in, you know, I'm by myself here. I live in Savannah currently, and my mom just came to visit, and I've been a little bit sad since she left, because it was just like, I was around that genuine love for a week. And, and you know, my soul just yearns for that. But I think the lesson, not to detract, God's asking me to bring myself closer to him, or, you know, this God, the source. So I believe that's currently what my lesson is. But just family for me, it's just a support network that have soul connections and that love each other unconditionally.
Yeah. I have a big family. That is with my siblings. We're pretty close, but also with some of my friends. I have a pretty big family that I am honored to be a part of, and we, as you talk about, we protect each other, love on each other. When people see us walking or engaging, they think I'm dating some of the girls that we're with and stuff like that. One of my best friends, we hang on to each other and just talk. Tony and I are best friends, you know. And I had a girl came up to me, Travis, and said to me that her friend liked me a lot, but she wouldn't go out with me because I was gay, because I was hugging on my friend, and I just love him. I mean, I'm like, I looked at her, I said, okay. You know, I'm like, what the mindset of people.
I know.
You look into a relationship like that, and they have no understanding about the fact that when I went through my hard times, he was there for me. When he was going through his hard times, he was there for me. And so we would be sitting down, leaning on each other, and just talking, because, you know, that energy is there. We know each other. We could finish a conversation. People talk to, you know, a lot of my friends say to us that when the two of us get in sync to run. So he and I are troublemakers back in the day too. So when we got in sync, they would tell us to run. So, but yeah, I know what you're talking about as far as that family unit. And a lot of families that are siblings as far as genetic, there's a lot of those folks, Travis, that truly are not family, you know. Many of them can turn out to be your worst enemy. So it's just sometimes just like that. But I'll give you an example. There's these two brothers in the Bible, Esau and Jacob, and they didn't like each other at all. They actually tried to kill each other. And but it was many, many years that God worked on his heart, Esau's heart, and he came back came to meet his brother and they united. But the younger brother was panicking, thought his brother was coming to kill him, and he kept sending out all his wealth, cattle and everything to meet him and everything. And his brother comes to him and says, "Man, I got my own stuff." He just wanted to mend the relationship. So, you know, I'll join my fate with yours, and hopefully it can happen with you and your brother. So to have that experience, you know. So,
and you're lucky, Ken. That's incredible. I'm so happy that you have a family, a large family that you're extremely close with. That's amazing.
Oh, man, it's a pretty large family. And because when we were back in the day, as they say, when we were in the scene, when I was partying my life away, and there was a group of us that were really tight. We weren't just, we protected each other. And I know these people for 30 plus years now, you know.
That's
so
amazing.
There's so many of them that I can name, girls and men, that are like that. There's five of us that people call the Spice Girls. And there was a bunch of my friends, we dressed as the Spice Girls, and we won one of the Halloween
parties. And which Spice Girl were you?
Second place. I know, I'm just a wild guess, you know. We got in there, and that was an interesting. So people still call us the Spice Girls. And those are my brothers, and we would die for each other. So I understand exactly what you're talking about when you talk about family. Talk to me, Travis, about you're going through all of these experiences, and you got a chance to reconnect, and you're learning about the difference between families and stuff like that, the different types of families. Talk to me as to how did this book came about? How did you decide to put your experience within pages?
I can't speak for everybody else, but I think that most people, including myself, paint a picture of how they think their life is going to look. I thought I would have, you know, be married at a certain age, children, even though I'm part of the LGBTQ community, I thought that would happen for me. It still may. Then I went down the road of being a part of corporate America and being in an industry that is, I guess one would say, lucrative. And then also the final definition that I, you know, perfect. I'm a perfectionist. I'm not no longer a perfectionist. I'll say that. I wasn't perfectionist.
I want to talk to you about that. When you had mentioned it on the onset, I was like, I can't wait to have this conversation. So I didn't say anything about it. So talk to me about your pursuit of perfection.
Oh, gosh. Well, so going back with how I wrote the book was someone made this comment to me that they said, "You don't understand because you don't have kids." You know, just a very condescending comment. And I started thinking about ways I've parented. And it's really to be a part of the conversation, because people of our age have kids, and they talk about their kids and what their kids are doing. And so, but I can still, what they're saying, I could still identify and understand through other ways that I parented. Mm-hmm. And so I just started with that one chapter, and then I started thinking about the other words, and that's when I narrowed it down. So striving for perfection, to your question.
Yeah.
Because I always knew I was.
Talk to me about.
Okay. First off, my brother was very bad. He was always getting in trouble. Mm-hmm. It drove my family, my parents, a little bit crazy. And I witnessed that. So not only did I know at a very young age I was different, but I was going to be this perfect model son for my parents. Yeah. You know, good grades. You know, I wanted to look a certain way, dress nice, even at a very young age. And I truly created an armor, I believe, who maybe not for people not to really see the real me, even though I probably was, as far as the other little boys were concerned, dressed better than everybody else, which was a big giveaway.
Yeah.
but hair perfect and everything. But that bled into, you know, just seeing how looks are valued. And so, and within the gay community specifically, the entrance criteria for a lot, and it's sad, are looks and money. And so I was striving to have the perfect body and striving to, this was back when Facebook, I don't even think Instagram was around then. And I had all these professional pictures taken and I would post them wanting all this validation. And I just recognized how unhealthy that was and how focusing on the exterior kept me from focusing on the interior. And I don't want to be that hard on myself. I like to eat. I love pizza. And I don't want to get all this outside validation, because I find, and I write in my book, people who are seeking outside validation and they keep doing it, maybe the ones that are on Instagram and they're constantly posting, you know, those types of pictures, maybe in half naked shots, and they're not getting what they really need, and that's loving themselves internally. It's like lighting a match in a dark room and then it goes out and you have to light another one. The light's inside of all of us if one chooses to look for it. And that's what I chose for myself.
It's important to have that journey, the self-growth piece, Travis. If you don't love yourself, as we were talking before, how in the world can you love someone else? You got to learn how to forgive yourself from that place. There's freedom there. There's a certain amount of power from the place of forgiveness. And I tell people, don't be afraid of that space, because people think of it, because the world teaches us that it's a place of weakness. It is not. It is takes more power to talk and experience and delve into that space of forgiving yourself than you would ever know. Because once you have done that, things people say to you don't even bother you. You look at me, you want to know what because you've experienced something different. You've learned some different way. I tell people you have to switch your perspective. Personal growth is simply learning to switch your perspective from the programming that you had. You were talking about looking good and all that stuff. When we partied and hung out in Orlando, one of the scenes that I hung out in and I gained some of my best friends there was from the gays and lesbian scene. I was in there every night hanging out with my friends, and many of my friends are gays and lesbians, but I don't look at them as gays and lesbians. They're my friends. I love them.
Absolutely.
I mean, these are some of my family that I was telling you about earlier that are part of my family, and that we would die for each other because I love them. I mean, so I don't look at them like that. That's another story. But when you switch your perspective and you've learned to love yourself, Travis, it's nothing like it, man. And it troubles me to see, because traveling, I get to see every country I go to. I see those people are doing the same thing you're talking about, posing and hours. I sit down to go to eat dinner and I see them there. And I'm like, man, why don't you just get a photographer, walk around with you, and save all of that?
That's exhausting. That's insane. They just can't be present.
It's amazing. I don't know how they do that. I think it's the saddest thing you ever see, because folks like that will be used. Someone will come and use them, because someone will know how to. And I tell them, the beautiful thing about your spirit, man, you got to learn who you are inside, because no one has learned how to manipulate that part of you yet. They've learned to manipulate every part except for that. That is the most beautiful gift, because it is a gift to yourself for you to get to know who you are. And the only way you can experience that, Travis, is a place of honesty. You cannot lie to yourself. It is your experience, your personal experience, that every individual on this planet have an opportunity to do by choice. And so you decided to write this book and you are putting these things together and you came up with your chapters. Perfection, all right, Travis. This I want to talk to you a little about because perfection is, I think it is, and I say this to people all the time, perfection is a tool to keep you and I from getting to know who we are.
Yes.
Because we, when you look at perfection, it focuses on things. You know, I have to dress right. I have to look good because this is our perception of perfection. To me, perfection is, I'm perfection. I'm so perfect, I'll tell you what, because I got one special fingerprints. I got my eyes are special. I'm perfect in my mess. I tell them, I'm perfect in my mess. I'm just a perfect big mess. But there's no such thing as perfection. It's a place that it will cause you more harm than you will ever experience in your life if you chase it because it doesn't exist.
If God created us all perfect, we would have nothing to learn.
And,
you know, I believe life is about lessons and learning lessons and bringing, if you choose to have a connection with God and you realize you want that for yourself, then you're going to realize that, no, we're not made perfect and by any stretch of the imagination, and we're going to be put through many trials and tribulations to bring us closer to Him. Yeah. And, you know, but you turn on the television, buy the, you know, get this done to yourself, get this car, get that, and you're going to be rewarded for it, right? Whether that's you're going to, you know, be able to date the good looking girl or guy, or, you know, going to get promoted within your work. And it's engraved.
It's sad, isn't it, though, Travis? It's the saddest thing because none of that has to do anything with joy.
No joy.
Happiness. There's nothing. It's nothing. You know, I've known people that have surgeries, tons of surgeries, lip this, that, butt this, face this, for chasing perfection. And it's really interesting to see their perception of perfection. And you and I sometimes will look in a person that is obsessive in that type of thinking and go, wow, what went wrong? You know, but I wanted you to talk about that in your life because it doesn't bring any joy, and everyone tells us that it brings joy. And what did it do to you, Travis, that pursuit of that perfection?
Mental anguish, anxiety, fear of rejection. It led me down a path of wanting to be accepted by the wrong people, therefore putting a wedge in my relationship with Jamie. And it's just so much more fun to, you know, relax.
To be yourself.
I really enjoy being myself. You know, it's, you know, it, the good, the not so good that I'm working on, but I'm a weird guy. I'm a little bit weird. You know, every morning I drink my coffee in a unicorn onesie because it makes me happy. And, you know, I've got like, you know, you look back here and there's a thing of Batman because I love Batman. You know, I mean, it's just, and if someone were to walk in my house and kind of, why do you have these kind of, I guess one would think that would be childish or whatever, but I don't care. It's just, it brings me joy. And
yeah, it's your space.
It's my space.
It's your space. It's your space. It's your energy. It's mine was music. People would tell me, why did I leave my radio on? And I'd look at them and says, because you don't understand what I'm doing. That's why. Because if you understood what I was doing, I was setting the space before I came in. And so the energy that the type of music that I was playing, I knew that once I walked through that door, it will prepare me because me was expecting the kind of energy that when I got in there, Travis, I would drop everything because I came from the corporate America space. I was in there. I would drop that and walk in there, and the energy in my house would be in such a space that it would bring me down from the craziest days that I've ever had. And so my space is mine because it is different from where I am going into the battle, as they say. But when I come home, I wanted to have a place that I can wear your unicorn onesies and have a cup of coffee. And that's bliss.
But I tell work, that's what I do. And, you know, I show who I am at work, where some of you do show who they are. And I know that not everyone knows how to take that, but I'm hoping to lead by example because I want more people to be, it would be nice to see more people be vulnerable and open their soul up a little bit, you know, because God wants us to be connected and we can't be connected unless we're vulnerable with each other.
Have to be. It's a place, that's where love lives. That's where empathy lives. That's where all those things live that we've been talking about. Everyone that has been listening to Travis and I, I want you to get his book. I want you to sit down. I tell people all this all the time, Travis, when they grab your book, they're having a one-on-one with you. I want you guys, I'm going to provide his social media things so that you can get in touch with him, talk to him. He has this thread that is going through his life with his relationship with his God and his relationship about loving and the deepness about wanting to be in this family of people that are like-minded and all of these things. And that's what we're here for, guys. I want you guys to get in touch with him and join like-mindedness so that you can understand that you are not alone. I know for those, and I hate to use this, Travis, I hate to use this because that's how society refers to gays and lesbians. For those folks that are listening, I want you to get in touch with Travis and talk to him. Here is someone that is walking the walk and loving and not responding the way that the world is. Find a like mind as Travis, and he will help you to see who you are so that you can become effective for this world. Thank you so much for coming, man.
Ken, thank you so much for having me. This has been an absolute pleasure. You're an incredible guy doing incredible things. So I really appreciate today.
Thank you, sir.